Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Please stay tuned and worship with us on this Lord's Day. Was Jesus an agitator? Why did people often get angry when he spoke to them? We'll talk about these questions in a sermon today, which is entitled, Faced with Truth.
Praise to the Lord.
Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. The background of this portion of Scripture finds Jesus in the hometown of Nazareth, worshiping in the synagogue. He has just read the Scriptures, and this is what happens. Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. All the people in the synagogue had their eyes fixed on him. As he said to them, "This passage of Scripture has come true today, as you heard it being read." They were all well impressed with him and marveled at the eloquent words that he spoke. They said, "Isn't he the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "I'm sure that you will quote this proverb to me, 'Doctor, heal yourself.' You'll also tell me to do here in my hometown the same things you heard were done in Capernaum. I tell you this," Jesus added, "a prophet is never welcome in his hometown. Listen to me. It is true that there were many widows in Israel during the time of Elijah, when there was no rain for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread throughout the whole land. Yet Elijah was not sent to anyone in Israel, but only to a widow living in Zarephath, in the territory of Sidon. And there were many people suffering from a dreaded disease who lived in Israel during the time of the prophet Elijah. Yet not one of them was healed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were filled with anger. They rose up, dragged Jesus out of town, and took him to the top of the hill on which their town was built. They meant to throw him over the cliff, but he walked through the middle of the crowd and went his way. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, Jesus would never have won an award for being a good public relations man. As you study his relationship with the religious community of his day, it is easy to see how a bit more diplomacy could have made life much easier for Jesus. But our Lord did not come here to win a popularity contest. Rather, he came to save us. And to carry out his mission, it was necessary for him to confront us with the truth. This always takes a very courageous person, for there are times when the truth can be very upsetting. This is seen in our everyday life. I believe we can even see this in the economic slump which we are experiencing today. As a world, we have not faced some of the economic absolutes. As a result, we have inflation, high interest rates, and now employment has become very painful for millions in our land. We are faced with the truth, and that truth is very upsetting. So it is also true in our spiritual life, and that is one of the great lessons which is being taught today. Let's go back just for a moment to that town of Nazareth where Jesus grew up. It was a city of about 20,000 people. I ask you now to use your imagination and see what interesting lessons we can learn from this great text. Jesus had gone into the synagogue to worship. They had handed him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. For those of you who listened to this program, we discussed this matter last week. As Isaiah's prophecy was being read by Jesus, these words came forth, that he had come to bring sight to the blind, to free those who are in captivity, and to send on the way those who were enslaved. When he had finished all of this, he handed the scroll back to the attendant and said to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And so the synagogue worship closed. It would be my understanding of the service that after it was all over, there were some people who hurried on home. There were others who waited a while to fellowship and to participate in a bit of lunch. As some of those who desired to go home immediately left the synagogue and walked on their way, I can well imagine two women saying to the other, "Wasn't that an interesting synagogue service? It was so different. It was nice to have Jesus with us. Mary and Joseph have a fine son. Isn't he eloquent?" But they had no change of heart. They just went on home, waiting for another Sabbath day to come around. Others, I believe, stayed for a while. They began to ponder some of the things which Jesus said. They asked, for example, "Isn't this Joseph's son? Don't we have the right person? And what is his claim to fame? Did he say that he was the Messiah?" And that then led the questioners into pursuing this a bit further. Now, some might have dropped off at that particular time and headed on home too. But those who remained began to interrogate Jesus. "If you are the Messiah," they well could have said, "show us." And then Jesus comes back with the words of our text. "I know what you want me to do," he said. "I want you to perform some of the same signs in your midst that I did in the city of Capernaum. But a prophet is without honor in his own country." Then Jesus did what was a very undiplomatic thing. He reminded them of two incidences recorded in the Old Testament. The one referred to that time where there was a famine for 3.5 years, and many in Israel suffered from it. But there was one woman who was spared, and she was a Gentile. Then he went on to say, "And remember that dreaded disease that was found among the people. And there was only one who was healed from it. And he was a Syrian, and his name was Naaman." Then he went on to say, "God treated Israel that way to show her that if they would not be obedient to him, he would turn to the Gentile world." And Jesus inferred that unless you turn and receive me as Savior and Lord, then God again will turn to the Gentile world. This so angered those who listened to him that a worshiping congregation became a homicidal mob. They tried to kill him. The truth was upsetting, terribly upsetting. They simply could not believe that Gentile people could it be included in the family of God. Now, what really did happen at Nazareth? Jesus had challenged their belief, which they held dear, though they were wrong. The thought that God loved all people was not acceptable to those who worshipped at the synagogue. Jesus angered them, and they sought to do him harm. I wonder if there are not many familiar reactions along that same line today. For example, let's take a portion of Scripture which brings to us the words of our blessed Lord. It's recorded in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. Here Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you? I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and you know the way that I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus replied, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Analyze that word, friend. I have read that hundreds of times to people who mourn the loss of their loved one. The first part is extremely comforting. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. And when we die, he's going to come back and receive us, that where we are, there he may be also. Is it not true that many worshiper who has heard that great promise from the Lord Jesus Christ have gone home admiring the words of the Savior, have taken comfort there? But ponder it a bit further. And here you find Thomas saying, "Lord, We do not know the way. See, there were questions. There were really questions. How do we get to heaven? We add to these questions. What is heaven like? Will we know one another and 100 others? That's the questioning mind. It's very natural. I have it. I wonder if you do not have it also. But then there is that strong remark of Jesus. And he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And there is the same spirit which prevails today. Who is Jesus to have this claim to fame? Who is Jesus to say, I am the only way to heaven? Oh, the church has become concerned about this, have tried to play it down, have tried to interpret it in different ways, but the words of Jesus still stand. A pluralistic society of which we are a part say, you cannot continue to announce this truth or Christianity will not be respected. Today in our pluralism, we must consider Christianity one of the many. That's the cry of the world. But our Lord's word still stands, and it angers people. There is salvation in no other name than in the name of Jesus Christ. That's where it stands. And that is not a statement that millions of people admire. This is a statement they question and condemn. And therefore, Jesus draws the same reaction today as he did in Nazareth. We could take it in many other areas. There was not too many years ago, in fact, it's not over yet, that many were angered when on the basis of the Word of God we learned that it was necessary for us who are of the white race to receive our black brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ as co-equals. It was difficult in all parts of America to say, these friends are my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. They are to have the same rights that I have, eat in the same restaurants, have the same jobs, stand in the same pulpit, teach in the same classroom. It was difficult, wasn't it? And many grew very angry at Jesus and at his church because they proclaimed that. Likewise today, as we live in a very sexually permissive society, it is still the word of God that denounces again and again fornication and adultery. And he says in his word that sexual activity is to be confined to the marriage state. Anything beyond that is sin. It's a violation of the law of God. But you say that to many in our society today, and they'll say, but who is the church to tell me how I can live? Or as one professor of ethics has written, the cult of virginity seems to me to be making its last stand against the sexual freedom which medicine has now made possible. A growing number of church people, he says, are challenging fixed moral principles or rules about sex or anything else. And Jesus really, really angers us when he confronts us with the truth about our lifestyle. Or let someone be told by the Lord Jesus that they are to forgive that brother who they have something against. The brother who might have taken a wife away, a child away, or cost the individual many dollars. I have to forgive him? And Jesus says, that's right. You have to forgive him. And Jesus again angers us. Yes, the truth can be very upsetting, but here is the good news. The truth can set us free. We can live our lives of denial for a while, but ultimately the truth must be faced. Why did Jesus confront people in the past and yet today with the truth? Was he an agitator? No. He confronts us with the truth that we may confess our sins, be forgiven, and know what joy there is in walking in the truth. We cannot continue to live a lie and be happy. What is wrong in our lives can be forgiven when we bring it to the throne of grace and ask the Lord Jesus to forgive us. Our ungodly lifestyle and our unchristian beliefs can be changed. That Jesus will do, and the truth will set us free. You are right, my friend. Jesus was not a great PR man. Had he been, we would still be in our sins. Jesus is not a PR man. He is my best friend. He is your best friend. He comes to confront us with the truth. And when that truth brings us to our knees and we repent of our sins and turn from them and trust Jesus Christ, then that which has enslaved us will set us free. And our best friend, none other than Jesus Christ himself, will be the one who will give us life and will give it to us abundantly. He will set us free to live and die in that personal relationship with the God who created us and the Savior who redeemed us. We can be his forever, free, free indeed. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have come into this world to be our Savior, that you have set us free, that if we will only bring our sins to you, as far as the east is from the west, so far they can be removed. God, for that great message, we give you our thanks this day. Give us the grace also to let your truth penetrate our hearts, to point out to us, O God, that your absolute still stands. May that law bring us to our knees. May it bring us to the throne of grace. May it cause us to repent of our sins and to receive that Savior who loves us so much. Help us, O God, as we live in our captivity, to understand that our Savior is not the agitator, but our best friend, the one who wants to live with us both now and forevermore. Hear us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
You are tuned to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We are pleased to have you worshiping with us this day and hope you will tune in every Sunday on the same station and hear Pastor Larson. We are thankful that Pastor Larson's sermons can reach such a widespread audience, but response from you, the listener, is very important to Christian Crusaders. Your gifts are needed and appreciated. Support for this radio ministry is through friends like you. Therefore, it's important that we know you are a part of Christian Crusaders Radio Congregation on this station. The address is Christian Crusaders, Box 451, Waterloo, Iowa, 50704. Cassette copies of today's service are now available. The cassette tapes are being offered free. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. And printed copies of the sermons heard on these broadcasts are also available for the asking. The address again is Christian Crusaders, Box 451, Waterloo, Iowa. Christian Crusaders, Box 451, Waterloo, Iowa, 50704. Conducting the service today, as on every Sunday, was the Reverend Homer Larson, pastor of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders.